the message that I wanted to talk about, and I know this is something that's been brought up several times, but it just seems like this topic just keeps coming up a lot, especially at our Tuesday night, especially at our Tuesday night prayer meeting that we had, and that is the subject of unity in the body of Christ. It is really important for to God that His people are united as one body. And I love His, and the fact that He does use the body as an illustration really just sums it up quite quite well, that when all parts of the body are working together in unity together, body functions and does what it needs and does what it's supposed to do. And this is just how God has set everything up from the beginning, from the time He created from the universe. He brought everything was put together in order from the time, I mean, not only did he had His creation, everything is just, again, brought together in unity. And that is something that God just wants to continue to see. Unfortunately, we see a lot of disunity. Not just in the world outside, but we see a lot of disunity in the body of Christ as well. And there are some clear warnings in Scripture about disunity and being the cause of discord in the body. One particular passage that I want to share with you about that, if you go to Proverbs chapter 6, down in verse 17, I'm sorry, go up one more, go Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16. It says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him. And those are haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers." A lot of times when you see lists like this, like if there's one particular thing that you're looking for, I do find it kind of important to kind of look at the other things that are lumped up with it. My message is about disunity, but lumped up with disunity, he lists it, you know, devising wicked plans, running to evil, witnesses that bear out false lies. I mean, all those things right there, if you want to cause disunity in the body of Christ, there you go. That's a surefire way to do it right there. And I'm sure those of you who've definitely been going to church a while have probably seen this a lot. And I'm pretty, if I'm not mistaken, this church had the unfortunate event. There was a bit of a split in this church also. And it, if I'm not mistaken, it's come up to some little lies and a little bit of misunderstanding. Yeah, that caused that. And that, unfortunately, is what the world really seems to want to focus on when they talk about Christianity, when they want to talk about God's church, is how disorganized it is. And John brought up a very interesting statistic, thank you, to me. I was unaware of this. I knew there was a lot of churches in this area, but John pointed out there are about 375 churches in the Henry County, Martinsville area. Now, I'm not sure how many of them are still active, but if we assume they are active, that's a lot of churches. And a lot of them, not only do they have different names, but if you were to go to each one, there's several of them, you know, all have their own little thing and kind of just want to be their own little thing. So as far as disunity and divided Christ, that's what the world sees. It's like, okay, if you guys are all reading from the same, you're all reading from the same book, you all claim to be praying to the same God, yet these guys over here can't agree with them. They can't agree with them, and they can't agree with them. They can't agree with them. So where is this body of Christ? Where is this unity that you talk about? We don't see it. What's really great is that when the Lord does bring His people together, when they're all in agreement, it's just the great moves of God that you see. And we've witnessed this. we've invited churches here to our, and we've gone to other places. And when we come, and it just seems like when we come together, especially with the one good example, Temple of Christ, when we come together, Spirit just really moves, and you just feel God's presence just falls like a ton of bricks in the place. And the reason for that is we are in unity with each other. We're in agreement, and we're just allowing God to do His thing without any hindrance. Now, even though, we see a lot of discord in the body of Christ. I mean, we see it in the world too. The world's got its own disunity that it shows. You have all these different little groups that want to all kind of be their own little thing. And heaven forbid if you disagree with any of it, even if it's not of God. You're going to be getting an earful, as we've heard. But again, that's what the enemy wants. He wants disorganization, especially in the body of Christ, because it weakens us. If you want to hinder what God's trying to do in a church, sow a little discord. You're not going to see a whole lot of progress if you're not going to all come into agreement. I mean, if God wants to move, he'll find another way. He just may not use that particular congregation. He'll find some other way to achieve His purpose. But as a church, if you want to see, I truly believe this, you want to see a move of God come together in unity. And I think for here, I think that we definitely, I can safely say that I'm pretty sure we're all in agreement. Even if we, you know, maybe somebody may say something that we're kind of like, you know, like I said, the fact that we still make an effort to try to come together, I feel is really awesome. But I will have to say this. It does always seem like when you see the things that are going on in the world, it just seems like the enemy just seems like he's just like making all these great strides. It's like, man, he is just really seems to be doing. It seems to be just causing so much trouble. I mean, not only does God use people to achieve His purposes. I mean, the enemy does the exact same thing. He'll find somebody to achieve what he wants to get done. And if you've ever felt this, that it seems like the enemy, it seems to be doing just a whole lot in the world. I would have to say that because the people that he uses, they're all in alignment with his plans. So those who the enemy uses, they're all, if you think about it, they're in agreement with him. So if you're thinking, he's like, why is everything literally kind of seems like it's going to hell? Well, they're all in, it's like all the people he's using are all in agreement. So they're able to make all these great strides forward. And here's the church. And again, I do believe, though, that's going to eventually come to an end. And going over to Romans, let me find it real quick. And Romans chapter 16, verse 17, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrines that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve the Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive. For the obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. I'm going to say that part one more time because it bears repeating. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of your Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. So, yeah, whenever I watch the news or anything like that, it always seems like, man, it just seems like everything is just really just going downhill. And we just don't see anything like trying to change. But again, that's where we can hold our hope out. God is going to crush Satan, and all the lies that have been sown are going to be. I mean, all those lies are going to be taken away. The truth will be revealed, and we will not have to worry about it ever again. But until that time, we do have to fight over it. Spiritual warfare, and we just have to be careful. And we also just need to be careful that we are not sowing any kind of discord. This was something that got brought up on Tuesday, and it definitely struck a chord with me. I'm sure it did everybody else. You know, since the election, I would have to say, got a lot of people, and you got two factions. Definitely for the president, those who are strongly against it, and those that we strongly disagree with. You know, we really just want to it's very easy to want to badmouth them, because when you hear them speak and hear some of the things that they're saying, you're like, what, you have no common sense. Why do you believe that? How can you completely agree? How can you agree with the fact, it's like, what, there's more than two genders? What? You agree, this lifestyle over here, do you think that's acceptable? How there's so many people who could tell you why that's wrong, and yet you just want to fight and say, no, it's right. And we can just badmouth and make fun of them all we want, but let me ask you something. Is that really the best way to go about it? No. It's easy. Sometimes it can be fun. Don't get me wrong, because I've had my fill of making fun of people like that. But the fact of the matter is, we really got to watch that, because there's going to come a time. I don't know if there's a man's church who follows whose ideology follows the left a little bit. We're going to have people come here who may be Democrat. There may be some views that they share with them that they don't see as too big of a problem. Okay? So instead of making fun of them, what we really need to be doing is, as Flora said, pray for them. Okay? I mean, and again, these could be brothers and sisters in Christ. This is that, yeah, okay, so their views are not like mine. We can talk about it. We can discuss it rationally. But we just don't want to sow discord. We don't want to cause anything. We don't want to cause disunity in this house. The Lord delights in us coming together. He really hates it, as he demonstrated in Proverbs. He really hates it when we disband. So that would be a challenge. That would be a challenge to everybody. I know it may be hard. I know it's like, I got such a ringer for that dim. I got one. Keep it to yourself. Try to keep it to yourself. it's one thing to make fun of them and just want to completely try to humiliate their view, but it's also a different thing. It's like, okay, here's what God says. Here's what the Bible says. This is what I agree with. This is what I align to. And if your view differs from that, okay. But if you call it, but I'm saying, if you are identifying yourself as a Christian, and the word clearly says, either one, whatever the view is, if it goes against it, you know, show them that, reveal that to them, and that's it. But as far as getting into heated arguments. That is definitely not the best way to go about it. Okay. Now, even though God wants us to be unified together as a body, He does also call us as in First John chapter 2 verse 15 to not love the world or the things of the world. You know, He does want us to still be separate from it. So God wants unity with His people, but yet He still wants us to be separated and divided from the world. Okay, so how do you reconcile the two? It's like He wants unity, but He still wants a separation from the world. Okay. If there's one thing I love about Christianity, is the fact that God will take anybody, no matter where they are in life, no matter what they're thinking, how they are, takes them as they are, and takes them the way they are at that particular moment. So when somebody who I guess you can call worldly is coming into the congregation, you know, we are to love on them, and we just take them as they are at that particular moment, pray over them. And then hopefully through prayer, they will be unified into the family of God. I was remembering the message that Elizabeth gave on Ruth, which I it's kind of, let's see, was Ruth was, well, she was a Moabite, correct? Okay. I found it interesting that if you look in the book of Deuteronomy, there is a clear commandment that the Moabites were never to enter the assembly of God, never entered the assembly of the Israelites. Yet here's a Moabite woman who entered the assembly, and not only that, she became part of the genealogy of Christ. But what was great, but when you read that, the reason she was allowed to come in and be unified with God's chosen people was the fact that she said that one prayer, that one thing she said, that your people, she said, your people will become my people, your God will become my God. So the moment she rejected that culture that she came out of and accepted the Israelites' culture and accepted their and accepted the God of Israel, it was at that point God took somebody from the world and unified them with Israel. So, and that's just such, I mean, that's such an awesome thing. It really is. And going through and continuing on, when you see God's people come together, even in what's the First Chronicles, the dedication of the temple, when it said the fire of God coming down, and just the worship that sprung out of that, so that spun from the dedication when God's people were coming together, and also with Pentecost in the book of Acts, it's just amazing what God will do. And to kind of give a little bit more of a modern example, is anybody here familiar with the Azusa Street Revival? Okay. If you're not, it was started back in, so it was 1906, and went for about 2.5 years out in California. A man named William Seymour was the one who kind of started getting that underway. Now, this was during a time when, of course, racism, Jim Crow law was still going on. This was a black man who was the son of a freed slave who, I think he was blind, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was also blind in one eye. God picked him out of all, during this time, picked this man. It's like, all right, you're going to, I'm going to start a revival through you. And they rented out this old warehouse on Azusa Street out in California. And for 2.5 years, the Spirit of God fell on that place hard. We're talking signs, miracles, wonders, healings, and it was amazing. And to read, and I read a book on it, just to read the testimonies, the eyewitness accounts of what was going on. And what was going on? God's people, all these people coming from around the country, being united under the presence of God. In fact, what's one great thing about that story, I can't remember the man's name, but he's the one that started Azusa Street East. Came from North Carolina. Yeah, the other one. I don't remember. I cannot remember his name. This was the 1906 to about 1908, 1909. You're right. Yeah. And unfortunately, yeah. And if I remember his story correctly, he was a bit of a racist when he went. Goes to this revival, sees the man who's actually starting it, and sees what's going on, and God just completely changes him, changes his view on race, on what God can do, and gets that anointing, takes it back to North Carolina, and starts the Azusa Street East revival down in Dunn. And we went to that conference there a couple years back. So all I'm saying is, any opportunity that we have where we can come together, where we can come under agreement with God, which can be any time, we really need to take advantage of that. When God's people come together, that we all really try to be together in agreement, show unity, because God can move and do some wonderful things when we are aligned with Him. God doesn't want disunity. Yeah, I mean, yes, the church, all these different denominations. Okay. So what if somebody says, okay, we believe in firm. We believe that you have to be fully immersed. And we've got one over here that says, okay, sprinkling will suffice. We have some over here that's like, okay, your church building has to have the red carpet. It's like, oh, no. Your church has to have the blue carpet. I mean, just nitpicky things. The important thing is, okay, first off, do you consider yourself, okay, do you consider Christ to be a son of God? Do you consider him to be God, died on the cross for your sin? Do you believe that he resurrected on the third day? Do you believe that this is the inerrant word of God, the Bible? If you can agree on if churches can at least agree on that, I think you have a good starting point. Yes, there's going to be tiny little doctrine. There's going to be tiny little differences in your doctrine, but does it really matter if you disagree on these tiny little issues? No. Are we going to fully agree on every single little aspect of the scripture? Probably not. Not every little bit. But I think what we should be able to do, but I think what we need to do is to make sure that even if we disagree on the tiny little things, that we can at least agree that we are part of the body of Christ, that we need to come together, work together, and try to achieve what God wants to do, especially in this area, to expand his kingdom. I want to close with this. It's on Psalm 133. Yeah. I think this is a good good closer. Oh yes, I love it. Yeah, it's great. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, now good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." I don't know about you, but I want that. I want to see that. I want to see revival in this area. I want to see the different congregations come together as the body of Christ, because I really do. We've prayed multiple times, said, God, that your kingdom come down. We want revival in this area, Father. We want it to spread out, and he will do it. We've had people give prophecy over this. We've prayed this, and I believe it's going to come. But I really believe that it's going to come. It will come a lot better if we're all in agreement. And again, just like the body, if you have something hurting, it's not in agreement with everything else. So healing over for the different congregations, healing as far as like lies I've been told, distrust, rumors that need to be stopped, truth to be revealed. That's what I want for this area. For the city, for this county, and just for all over. Okay. So can we all agree to that? Yeah, we'll pray for that. So, born of a virgin, Son of God, God in the flesh, crucified, resurrected on the third day. Okay? Okay. And so, yeah. And I believe that any congregation that can agree on at least those five things, again, like I said, you have a good starting place. Everything else, take care of later. Those are the five things that really need to be focused on. Okay? And again, since you brought that up, if you are ever in a place that claims to be a church, disagrees with any of that, or agrees that certain things that are normal in the world that go against God belong in the church, may want to question, is that really part of the body of Christ? So just keep that in mind. Use discernment. There's a lot of places, and Liz and I, we were watching something. I don't want to go too much into it, but it was a, they claimed to be a, you know, they said, oh, we're, you know, we're a church. They were sponsoring it, putting up front the money to sponsor drag queens to come in and read stories to the kids, to the children. And I know somebody, there's somebody I know who goes to a church who goes to a church similar like that. That's similar to that. They're pretty much open to any kind of lifestyle. They say, "Oh yeah, we're a church, but yet we want to also be like the world at the same time." So again, when it comes to unity, when it comes to the unity of Christ, again, use the sermon. If you find yourself in a place that is in disagreement with God and what He teaches, you need to again ask yourself: is this place really part of the body of Christ, or is it just part of the body of the world? And there's a huge difference. Again, we accept people again as they, we do. We accept people as they are. We take them in the place they are in their life. But what I'm saying is, if you're saying that what they're doing, if what you say is what they're doing is complete, if you're, what you're doing is fine, it's normal, God's okay with it, when it's not, that's, again, and that's where the issue comes about. But again, anybody who is like that, again, if we had people come in like that, who live some different types of lifestyles, some alternative lifestyles, quite different from our own, we'll bring them in. We'll gladly accept them and we'll pray over them. In fact, I mean, I could testify to that. Love them, hug them, invite them back. Okay, and just reveal. I mean, I wouldn't say slam the truth right in their face right up front. That's not the way to go about it. But just allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. Okay, pray over and just let the Holy Spirit do His work. Right, and that is exactly why we are called to take people as they are at what point they're in life. We don't know. Because we don't know their full story. We take them as they are. So, Lord, we just want to come before You right now. And, Father, we just want to pray, first off, we want to pray for Your church, for the body of Christ. We pray, Father, that it does come into agreement with Your will, Father. We pray, Father, for a unity in the body of Christ, separation, disorganization, and anybody, Father, that would sow discord, Father, we pray against those things. Sowing discord is the tactics that the enemy uses. And not being in agreement with You, Father, just weakens the body of Christ. But Father, we're just praying for a unity and a strengthening, Father. We're praying, Father, that not only does the body of Christ in this area, but all across this nation, all across this world, come to agreement, that we just pray, Father, that by coming to agreement with You, that just great moves of Your glory would just be shown when Your people come together, the great things that can be accomplished, Father. We just thank You, Father, that You have shown us, that You have promised that is going to happen. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that anybody who, even though we are to be separate from the world, Father, but anybody who comes in, that, Father, we just love on them. We preach them, we teach them about You, Father, and we just show them, Father, Your love. We just show them the love of the Father, and we just allow Your Holy Spirit to work in them, Father. And we pray, Father, that they will be unified with You, that all of your creation, Father, will just come back into unity and come back into agreement with You, regardless of wherever they're starting from, regardless of how they are. We just pray, Father, that Your love will be shown to them, that Your Spirit will just move through them, and that Your people will just hear Your voice. And to show them, Father, to show these people Your peace, and show them what the body of Christ is really about. Okay. And we thank You, Father. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.